This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman have just made their third film together. We're going to talk with them about working together. Eastwood directed and starred with Morgan Freeman in the films Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby. Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela in the new film Invictus, which is directed by Eastwood. The story is about how, after the end of apartheid, President Mandela tried to unite blacks and whites around rugby on the assumption that a winning team could inspire the country and bring it together. In this scene, the leadership of the ANC, the African National Congress, which had led the resistance against apartheid, has just voted to change the team's name, emblem, and colors, which they'd considered symbols from the apartheid era. President Mandela sees that as a divisive move and rushes to their meeting to convince them to reverse their vote.
I believe we should restore the Springboks. Restore their name, their emblem, and their colors immediately. Our enemy is no longer the Afrikaner. They are our fellow South Africans, our partners in democracy. And they treasure Springbok rugby. If we take that away, we lose them. I know. All of the things they denied us. But this is no time to celebrate petty revenge. This is the time to build our nation. You elected me your leader. Let me lead you now.
Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela in a scene from the new film Invictus. Freeman told me that years ago Mandela had said if anyone were to portray him in a film, it should be Morgan Freeman. Freeman was able to spend some time with Mandela to prepare to play him. What are some of the things you learned about him as a man by watching him?
I don't think I learned anything that really stands out that much. So I was watching nuance all the time, and I don't think I found anything that just like, oh, gee, what a surprise that is. I don't think that ever happened.
Let's get into some of the nuance then. What did you learn just about his posture and his style of speaking?
Well, at this age, he doesn't quite stand straight. I mean, he's an erect man, but if you tried to mimic his posture, you would fold just a little bit. That's one thing. He has a kind of flat-footed walk. It's not very flat-footed because he used to be a boxer, and but he's got a bad leg. And I think that's just what occasions the kind of way he walks. And he has certain little tics and quirks that I can't tell you about, but I could show you.
So there are a lot of rugby scenes in the film as the team prepares and as they, you know, work their way toward the World Cup and through the World Cup. So Clint Eastwood, you had to figure out ways of shooting those scenes, and it's actually a pretty violent looking sport. I'm incredibly unfamiliar with rugby, but it looks a little bit like football with different rules, but no protective gear. There's no helmet. There's no padding. I mean, the players are basically wearing shorts and T-shirts.
Well, it is a rough sport, probably. Among the roughest. It's because of those things you just got through mentioning, the lack of equipment and what have you. There's a lot of muscle and a lot of effort exerted on the field. You don't have separate teams that come in like American football. You play the whole game. There's a lot of different rules to it, but it is an exciting game to watch. Because of the pictures seen through Mandela's office and his associates who think he's doing the wrong thing by embracing this team. This Springbok team had not played an international game in many years due to boycotting apartheid, that they were not favored to do anything. The only reason they were in the playoffs is because it was the host nation. And so that gave them a shot at it. But then they had to play some very strong teams, ending up with the strongest rugby team at that particular time in history, which was the New Zealand All Blacks. And so we just tried to montage up to it, and then the final game is hangs on the cliff as to whether they win or lose the World Cup, which is a dream, of course, that Mr. Mandela counted on and defied the odds.
And won.
This is the third film that you've worked together on. You worked together on Unforgiven, in which you both starred and Clint Eastwood you directed, and in Million Dollar Baby. And again, you were both starring and Clint Eastwood you directed that. How did you first meet? Did you meet each other before making those movies?
No, we actually met on the set of Unforgiven. It was the first time I'd ever gotten up close and personal with him. I remember being in Zimbabwe working on a picture, and I got a call from my agent that Clint wanted me to be in his Western. And I was almost floored with the surprise. And, you know, he's probably one of my favorite Western actors of all time. And one of my favorite movies of all time is The Outlaw Josie Wales, which was his. And now he's calling me to come and be in one with him. Life couldn't get better.
So let's hear a scene from Unforgiven. And this is a movie in which Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman both play retired gunslingers who agree to take on one last job. And the job is to find whoever it was who slashed the face of a prostitute in another town, and other prostitutes in that town have put their money together to pay a reward for whoever, you know, avenges this crime. And so you've very reluctantly agreed to do it. You've really given up your guns. You this is something you don't want to do, but you do it. So here you are on your way to this job, and you're sitting around a campfire talking.
Ned, you remember that drover I shot through the mouth? His teeth came out the back of his head. I think about him now and again. He didn't do anything to deserve to get shot. At least nothing I could remember when I sobered up.
He was one crazy sumbitch, Will.
Yeah, no one liked me. The boys all thought I was gonna shoot him out of pure meanness.
Well, you ain't like that no more.
Eagle, he hated my guts. Bonaparte didn't think too much of me either.
Quincy neither, right?
No. Quincy used to just watch all the time. Scared.
Well, like I said, I ain't like that no more.
It's my guest, Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman in a scene from Unforgiven. Morgan Freeman, what's it like to be directed by Clint Eastwood?
Hard to explain because you're not directed by Clint Eastwood. If you're lucky enough to get a job with him, you're allowed to work. He doesn't hire you to say, okay, now this is what I want you to do. He hires you, and you've read the script, and if you think you can do it, and you're left alone to do it. For me, that's very as close to heaven as you can get.
One of the things he's famous for is for not saying action, so as to not have this like clearly delineated line. And maybe I'm misrepresenting this, so stop me if I'm wrong. And also to just kind of maintain the quiet and the mood that you want in your mind and not holler action. Clint Eastwood, stop me if I'm misrepresenting you.
Okay.
Am I close here? I should let you explain it and then ask Morgan Freeman what it's like to not hear action.
Well, you hire people because you think they're either really close to the part or you admire their talent and you figure that they're going to bring to the obviously you don't hire them because they're dummies. You hire them because you figure they understand the script certainly as well as you do. And then I suppose if somebody forgets something or leaves something out, you remind them about it. And if you want a little more dynamics, a little more speed in the scene or a little this and that, you make those suggestions, but you're not going to be giving acting lessons. That's something you can't do. There's no director on the planet, never has been, that's going to be able to stop a production and start from scratch. That's why you hire professional people. And if you're a good casting person, which I believe I am, I like to think I am, you get people that you know can deliver. Morgan Freeman would be probably the ultimate example.
And in terms of not saying action?
Not saying action is something I learned years ago from working on Rawhide series, and I'd have various directors come in every week with new episodes, and they don't love to scream action at the top of their lungs. And we found that it not only kept the set rather noisy because everybody felt they had to scream, but then the horses would go crazy and they'd go all different directions. And they'd line up, four of us, and we'd ride up to the camera and the director would yell action and the horses would go every which way. And the actors would either fall on the ground or be hanging on for dear life. And finally, one day I said to a television director at that time, I said, how about just not saying action? Maybe the horse is so used to hearing it that it unnerves him or gets him and anxieties about going into the shot. And maybe it gives the actor a slight anxiety. Maybe they just grip the horse subtly, but a little stronger than they should. And so in order to keep things to calm down, I said, why don't you just wave at us? Just wave, come on in, you know. And so, or use the words, come on in, or what have you. So that kind of, I found that worked very well, and I found it worked even when you don't have horses, because people, sometimes with kids and stuff, I'll just start the camera and not even tell them I'm starting it, because you want people to come in with a relaxed atmosphere. Now, the scene may not be relaxed, but the objective of the scene, but you want the work mechanism to be relaxed.
Morgan Freeman, do you feel less anxiety because Clint Eastwood doesn't holler action when a scene starts?
Well, I feel less anxiety because Clint Eastwood is the one behind the camera. I'm just amused by the fact that he doesn't call action. He doesn't call anything, and he never says cut. I never once heard him say cut at any time. He says things like, okay, that's enough, or stop, or well, I guess that'll do.
Or that's about as good as it's going to get, I guess.
Not as good as you're going to get.
Let me move on to another movie that you made together, and this is Million Dollar Baby. And let me play a scene. And in this movie, Clint Eastwood stars as a former, would you call him a boxing coach, boxing manager? What's the right word?
A manager and coach.
Okay.
He owns a small gym and...
Now he owns a small, like, run-down gym in downtown L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
And Morgan Freeman is a former boxer who now cleans the gym and helps run it. And he lost an eye in a fight while the Clint Eastwood character was his coach, urging him to stop the fight. But Morgan Freeman didn't stop the fight, and that ended his career. In the movie, a young woman played by Hilary Swank wants desperately to be coached by the Clint Eastwood character. He turns her down but finally agrees and becomes a kind of father surrogate to her. In this scene, Hilary Swank is fighting and her manager, Clint Eastwood isn't managing her at this moment, and her manager is incompetent. So Eastwood kind of comes into the ring, takes over, and is in her corner. We hear him talking with her. And then we hear a voiceover from Morgan Freeman, and Morgan Freeman's character narrates the story. So here's the scene.
I keep holding my left up, boss. Then I throw a punch and it keeps dropping.
Yeah, well, let it drop.
That'd be a lot easier.
She thinks she knows you, that's all. Every time you drop it, she comes right over the top. So you just wait for her, see? That's all she's thinking about. And when she cocks that big right hand, you hear me?
I hear you, boss.
And when she does, you step to the side and come over with this big goodnight hook. You got one?
Got it right here.
Okay.
Fight or I'm calling it.
Go give it to her.
The body knows what fighters don't. How to protect herself. A neck can only twist so far. Twist it just a hair more. And the body says, hey, I'll take it from here. Because you obviously don't know what you're doing.
Neutral corner. See the way she did that?
Yeah.
Sugar Ray would do that. Girl's got sugar.
Lie down now. Rest, and we'll talk about this when you regain your senses. It's called the knockout mechanism.
Don't get all carried away, Mom.
It's the scene from Million Dollar Baby with my guests Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman, as well as Hilary Swank. Morgan Freeman, you know, part of your role in this is to be the narrator, to do the voiceover, and to tell the story, and to do it in the kind of voice that you can kind of read between the lines of, because there's mysteries here in the story as you tell it. Can you talk a little bit about doing the voiceover in the film?
Well, I think we did that in about an hour, right? Mm-hmm. We went into a makeshift studio, and I had the script, and we just laid it down sort of like a timing track. And I always watch Clint get this voice that he uses in the movie. So I decided on this one, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get a Clint Eastwood voice. So I did. I just made it about as raspy as I could finally get it. And that was I liked the quality of that voice. So.
Clint Eastwood, did you know that that's what he was doing, trying to capture your voice?
No, I don't know too much about what he was doing. I got this idea. We had a little hour break because of a mechanical problem. So there was a guest house in this house we were shooting. So we stepped out of there. And I said, let's go do this narration. So we went out in the guest house and set it up with a sound guy, brought his equipment out there, and we knocked out the whole picture, the whole narration for the picture. But it sounded great to me. I think he's got a wonderful sound anyway, no matter what picture he's in. He always has this wonderful speaking voice. But he's also playing a scrap iron, a guy who's been beaten around pretty much, as has Frankie, the character I played. So they're both old gummers, so to speak, and they're and they it seemed like the right tone at the right time.
Morgan Freeman, when the director of a film is also the star of the film, as Clint Eastwood was in Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby, does it complicate things for you as the actor? You know, when your director is actually not behind the camera, but he's in the scene with you.
No, it only complicated things for me when we were doing Unforgiven because, and this happened one time I never forget, we were filming, it was night, it was, I think we had rain towers, and it was very cold and it was raining. And we were both wet, but we'd finish a scene. I'd be sent inside to the heat, and Clint would be outside setting up the next shot, and I began to worry about him. So other than that, no, I don't have any reaction to him being the star of the movie and then behind the camera, too. Again, this goes back to this whole thing of the quality of the set. It's always... it always runs smoothly, so it's not like he had bit off more than he could chew, which you can see sometimes.
I'm just flattered that he was worried about
him. did you tell Clint Eastwood you were worried about him? And I imagine you were worried he was going to get sick.
Well, I expressed some solicitude about his well-being during all that, but you don't go up to Clint Eastwood and say, hey, listen, why don't you sit down for a while?
Yeah. I was a much younger man then, too.
Is that true, too?
Thank you both so much for talking with us.
Good to talk to you, Terry, again.
Nice talking to you, Terry.
Clint Eastwood directed the new film Invictus, which stars Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela.